Welcome to Signal Noise Weekly. I'm your editor, and this week, the biggest story in a decade got signed at a G7 summit in France. Let's get into it.
Yeah, and honestly, the framing wars around that deal might be more interesting than the deal itself.
Oh, and the money moved before anyone in media caught up. Classic week for that.
Okay, the US-Iran peace deal. Strait of Hormuz reopens. Oil drops to a three-month low. Strategist, walk me through the framing split.
So right out of the gate, you get two completely different stories. Left-center outlets led with the economic relief angle. Hormuz open, prices falling, Goldman cutting its oil forecast.
Goldman lowering their forecast is huge. That's not a hedge, that's a conviction call.
Right, and conservative outlets led with something totally different. The terms are secret, the deal is preliminary. What did we actually give up?
The conservative frame is basically, we don't know what's in the box.
Exactly. And that's not an unreasonable frame. The terms are secret. But the emotional register is completely different. Suspicion versus relief.
Okay, but here's the thing. The market doesn't care about secret terms. The market cares about tankers moving through Hormuz.
Forecaster, break that down. What did the money actually do?
Empty tankers started entering the Persian Gulf. Bloomberg flagged that as the key confirmation signal. Oil drops. Goldman cuts forecast. That sequence happened in hours, not days.
The market priced the deal before most outlets even had it on their front page.
Before. The market was ahead of the coverage.
And 36 sources covered the Hormuz reopening. That's a massive number.
Yeah, and the framing inside those 36 is where it gets interesting. Because you've got some outlets running historic deal, and others running secret terms, conservative backlash.
29 sources on the conservative backlash angle alone. That's not a fringe read. That's a parallel narrative running at full volume.
Same week, same deal. Two completely different wars in the headlines.
And here's what I think is driving it. The conservative frame isn't really about Iran. It's about Trump's base needing to feel like strength was demonstrated, not just relief achieved.
I think you might be overreading that a little.
You always think I'm overreading it.
Because you sometimes are. Look, 26 sources have Trump signs agreement ending conflict. That's a strength frame. The market and the triumphalist frame actually overlap here.
That's a fair point. The Trump is dealmaker narrative and the market relief narrative can coexist. They're not in conflict.
Fair. Okay, I'll walk that back slightly. The suspicion narrative is real, but it's not the dominant conservative frame. It's a secondary one.
Good. That's a clean correction. Now, the economic aftermath. Because the deal doesn't mean prices snap back. Forecaster, what's the lag?
S&P Global called this the largest oil market disruption in history. Gas prices, S&P says they won't normalize until next summer.
Next summer.
Next summer. And airfares? Airlines already locked in hedges at high prices. Your ticket isn't getting cheaper, even if oil craters.
And that's the story that barely got covered. The asymmetry between the deal announcement and when normal people actually feel it.
The headlines say relief. The grocery store says otherwise. For a while longer, anyway.
Exactly. The media cycle moves at deal speed. The economy moves at supply chain speed.
All right, moving on. The Fed. Kevin Warsh's debut and strategist. This one had a framing split, too.
So Warsh holds rates at 3.5 to 3.75. That's the headline. But inside the decision, he stripped the cutting bias from the statement. That's the story.
And he didn't submit his own rate path forecast. That is a very deliberate move for a new chair.
Is that unusual? Or is that just him being cautious in his first meeting?
Both. But the market read it as hawkish. Two-year yields moved. Rate hike bets went up. The bond market was not neutral about it.
And the five internal task forces he announced? Communications review? Inflation frameworks? That's a signal he thinks the Fed's messaging has been broken.
He's basically saying we need to rebuild from scratch.
In the most bureaucratic possible way. 5 task forces, yes.
Okay, but here's what I'd push back on. 21 sources covered this. That's solid. But the rate hike angle was undersold. Half of FOMC penciled in a hike this year, and most headlines buried that.
Half of FOMC penciling in a hike. That should be the lead.
It should be. Instead, most outlets went with hold steady, which is technically true and also completely misleading.
The hold steady frame feels safe. The half of policymakers want a hike frame creates anxiety. Editorial choice. Comfort versus accuracy.
And that's the framing trap right there. Technically accurate, narratively incomplete.
Welcome to every Fed week ever.
Right. Okay, blind spot segment. And this week we have a real one. Strategist, set it up.
So the biggest pattern this week, and it's consistent across multiple stories, is a significant right media blackout on several major international stories.
It's not one story, it's like 5. That's a pattern, not a gap.
Walk me through them, fast.
Israeli strikes kill 6 in Gaza, including an Al Jazeera cameraman. Right-leaning outlets? Absent. Bolivia declares emergency to clear protest gridlock. Absent. Europe heatwave, France restricts alcohol. Absent.
Ukraine strikes a Russian refinery in Tumen. Russia attacks Zaporizhia, kills 5. Right-leaning outlets? Mostly absent.
Tumen? That's deep inside Russia. That's a significant escalation.
It is a significant escalation. And if you only read right-leaning outlets this week, you missed it entirely.
Okay, I want to be precise here, though. Is this ideological curation, or is it just the Iran deal eating all the oxygen?
Good question. Forecaster, what do you think?
Honestly, probably both. The Iran deal was 36 sources, it dominated everything. But the pattern of which stories got dropped tracks with ideology pretty cleanly.
The Al Jazeera cameraman story is the tell. That's not a bandwidth issue. That's an editorial choice.
Yeah. That one's harder to explain as just Iran ate the week.
Agreed. That one's a choice.
And the Ukraine momentum story, right-leaning outlets largely missed Ukraine gaining ground against Russia, which is notable given the general right media interest in that theater.
You'd think Ukraine winning would be covered everywhere.
You would think. New drone tech, updated tactics, rare momentum against Russian advances. Business Insider and ISW flagged it. Right-leaning outlets? Quiet.
The narrative dissonance there is interesting. The Ukraine is losing frame has been so dominant in certain outlets that Ukraine is gaining doesn't fit the template.
Template capture. The story doesn't fit the box, so it doesn't get the box.
That's the whole game.
All right. What the money thinks. Forecaster. Take it.
Okay, so prediction markets this week. Wild swings in the Michigan Democratic primary. Sarah Anthony, 47.7% swing, lands at 2.3% probability. Andy Levin, 45.5% swing, lands at 4.5%.
Swings of nearly 50 points?
In 1 week. That's not noise. That's a race that completely reshuffled.
Was there a candidate event? A scandal? What drove that?
That's the thing. I didn't see major media coverage of whatever moved it. The money moved. The headlines didn't follow.
So we have a significant Democratic primary reshuffling that the media basically missed.
While everyone was watching Iran, the Michigan race got lost in the noise.
Which is exactly the kind of story that matters in 6 months. And nobody will remember they didn't cover it.
Classic. What else, Farcaster?
Carolina Hurricanes, 89% to win the Stanley Cup. That's up 9.5 points this week. Vegas Golden Knights at 13%, up 7.9.
Wait, those both went up? Simultaneously?
Yeah, the market recalibrated. Somebody else's probability got crushed. Hurricanes are basically a lock at 89.
The hockey market and the Iran deal in the same week. This show contains multitudes.
And the Freddie Mac IPO? Market cap $300 billion or greater on IPO day, sitting at 4.7% probability, swung 1.6.
4.7. The market is saying that's almost certainly not happening.
The market is very skeptical of Freddie Mac hitting $300 billion at IPO, which tells you something about how the housing finance story is being received by people with money on the line.
Versus how it's being received by headline writers. Noted. Okay, rapid fire. Three stories, fast. Japan ice cream cartel raid.
Six major ice cream manufacturers raided. Cartel price fixing. NYT and BBC both covered it.
Right-leaning outlets? Nothing.
On an ice cream cartel? That's not even ideological. That's just a fun story.
And yet, the asymmetry is almost entirely about who showed up.
Honestly, sometimes the blind spot is just nobody sent a reporter.
Apple raising prices. Memory chip shortage. Tim Cook says RAM costs are unsustainable.
Reuters and Verge covered it. Right-leaning business and tech outlets absent on an Apple price hike story.
Apple raising prices and the right-leaning business press missed it?
Missed it. That's a consumer pocketbook story that should be everywhere.
I mean, could this be an Iran bandwidth issue again?
Maybe. But it's the second time this week a business story with real consumer impact went right outlet dark. Pattern matters.
Last rapid fire. Colombia presidential runoff. De La Espriella versus Cepeda. Strategist. Quick hit.
Trump endorsed De La Espriella, called Cepeda a radical left Marxist. NYT profiled both candidates. Christian Science Monitor also in.
Trump calling a Colombian senator a Marxist. How did that land in coverage?
NYT's Cepeda piece quoted him saying he's not giving up after being caught off guard by anti-leftist momentum. That's a telling frame. It centers the U.S. political narrative rather than the Colombian one.
The American lens applied to a South American election. We do this constantly.
We meaning American media, yes. Constantly.
Okay, what to watch next week? Forecaster, you first.
The Iran deal terms. They're secret right now. 22 sources on lingering questions. When those terms leak, and they will leak, watch how fast the framing war reignites.
That's a good one. The deal feels clean until we know what's in it.
Strategist, yours.
Kevin Warsh's next move. He's got 5 task forces running. He stripped the cutting bias. Half of FOMC wants a hike. His first press conference under real market pressure is going to be a tell for how he manages the Fed's narrative.
The bond market will react within minutes. Watch the 2-year yield.
Mine is the Michigan Democratic primary. Those prediction market swings were enormous, and the media was looking the other way. Something reshuffled that race hard. I want to know what.
The money moved 50 points, and nobody asked why. That should bother people.
That's kind of the whole thesis of the show, isn't it?
Pretty much. All right, that's Signal Noise Weekly. Every story we covered this week, sourced and scored, is at s2n.news. Go check it, especially the blind spot tracker. See you next week.